Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
As this week launched, Michigan Senator Debbie Dingell said it was the week from hell. Well, now it feels like purgatory, waiting to see if Democrats and Republicans will vote by tomorrow night to provide stopgap money for the government, which will otherwise shut down at midnight. They have a little more time to raise the debt ceiling. That's the amount the government is allowed to borrow before facing default in 2 weeks. And they have to agree or not on bills, one that would fix roads and bridges, the other a spending plan to provide child care, free community college, more health benefits for seniors. To transform lives, say the Democrats. To spend too much, say Republicans. Let's convene our political strategist. Jamal Simmons is the Democrat. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, Robin.
And Alice Stewart, the Republican. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Robin. Good to be with you.
You too. So again, lawmakers have to agree on this cash infusion to keep the government running. Democrats had tied that to lifting the debt ceiling, making it one vote. They hoped to force Republicans on board. Didn't work. Now they've teased them apart. So, Jamal, stay with the cash infusion. Are Democrats going to get it?
I think that the Democratic Party is what we're facing is a challenge of having really three parties in Congress right now that have two names, right? There are progressive Democrats, moderate Democrats, and then sort of insurrectionist, obstructionist Republicans. The problem is, if you want to get anything done now, you've got to have a negotiation between the two wings of the Democratic Party because the Republicans refuse to intercede. If I was a Republican, this would be the moment of maximum leverage because if the Republicans came in and delivered a batch of votes, they could move legislation in a way that would probably favor their voters on some of their issues. Instead, they're leaving it up to the progressive and the moderate Democrats to hash it out.
Alice, what do you make of that analysis?
I will say if there is any obstructionist in Washington, D.C. currently, it's the House progressives and holding up the process based on wanting to have big spending. And for the fact that they're holding the infrastructure bill over the heads of others for the sake of this Build Back Better bloated project, it's a travesty, and it's unfortunate for Americans because they continue to want to tax and spend more when we run the possibility of getting absolutely nothing done. And it's not the Republicans that are the cog in the wheel here. We have progressive House members who are not moving forward, and they're not working with the moderates of the party, Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, who are saying themselves, look, we're not there. We're not going to spend that money. We're not going to move forward, and we need to trim some of the fat. And these are Democrats within their own party that are having trouble with this massive spending.
I'm going to take what you set up with Jamal in a second, but Alice, staying with you. Republicans had no problem okaying President Trump's tax cut that largely helped the very rich, and then raising the debt ceiling with the help of Democrats, doing what they needed to do. What do you say about the word hypocrisy that's getting thrown at Republicans?
Well, unfortunately, Robin, that happens quite often when you're the party in power. You think spending and tax increases are fine if you're in the party in power, and when you're not, there's a different story. But the real situation here, Robin, is looking at what this will impact on the American people and what the Democrats are proposing. It is a massive plan, and it would cost the average American family household $27,000 in new spending for every household in America. That's what it boils down to. And we can't continue to pile a progressive package on the backs of American workers and also add to the debt at the same time. So what Republicans are simply saying is that we don't need to add spending and add to the debt and add to the financial costs and burden on our children and our children's children.
Okay, Jamal, again, the Democrat. Let's take up some of the things being said here. And you said it yourself, you know, that the Democratic Party is split now between the progressives and just a couple of moderates. Nancy Pelosi said this morning that she's at the mercy of the Senate. I want to hear from her. That's because she said two moderate Democrats, West Virginia's Joe Manchin and Arizona's Kyrsten Sinema, are holding up this bigger bill, that $3.5 trillion, you know, massive 10-year bill that's about social infrastructure. They don't want to pay for it. A lot of attention is being focused on what Kyrsten Sinema wants. On CNN last night, Congressman Ro Khanna, a progressive from California, aired his frustrations with her.
I have no idea what she wants. I don't think her colleagues know what she wants. I don't think the president knows what she wants. We've said, let's get in a room. Let's negotiate. Let's come up with a deal. And I just don't understand it. I mean, the president carried her state.
Look, Jamal, we just heard from Alice that her strategy, Alice's, the Republicans, is to throw that back at you. Why aren't you listening to these moderates? But, you know, what is going on with Kyrsten Sinema? Even Democrats in Arizona, which Biden won, are upset with her. Who is she standing for?
Listen, everybody has to kind of take care of their own politics. And if you're Kyrsten Sinema, you've got to run in a state with, you know, a particular set of issues in your state. I think the danger here for her is that she's going to be tagged as a Democrat regardless, all right, of whatever happens in this package. The question is, does she want to be in the majority next in the next Congress, or does she want to be in the minority? And that's really what this is about, because if Democrats can't get these kind of things done, and then we keep talking about social infrastructure, let's talk about what that means. That's child care for people, getting pre-K. That's getting health care subsidies to make Obamacare more affordable. You know, these are real life issues for Americans. And, you know, and Alice brought up the point about the debt limit. You brought it up too, Alice, and her point was about future spending. The debt limit isn't about future spending. The debt limit is about the bill run up in the Trump administration and previous administrations, but also by President Trump that Republicans voted for. And Nancy Pelosi, I will tell you, as the leader of the House, helped solve the debt limit crisis in the past. So when there was a Republican president. So Republicans should be doing their patriotic duty and keeping the full faith and credit of the United States of America at play, not playing politics.
Let me jump in with that, because Alice, that is exactly true. And I'm just coming in for the audience at this point, because it gets confusing. You know, when you come to the debt limit, that is, you know, raising the debt limit, that's about the fact that the government has run out of money right now. And they need the money to pay for, as Jamal just said, the past a debt that's been run up. What about that notion that Republicans should help pay for what they spent?
Well, there's a case to be made for that. I'll grant that. And the fact is, we need to pay the bills that we have to date. But the most important thing is to put a stopgap on spending in the future. And the problem here is we're spending so much of this time talking about debt and this massive Build Back Better program, when the most easy thing that Washington can do right now is to move forward on what we have bipartisan support on in this $1.2 trillion infrastructure plan, which has bipartisan agreement. Let's move forward with that, and that way we can deal with these other issues individually on a more rational basis. And I'll agree with Jamal. There are certain components of this program that are good. Universal pre-K, community colleges. But what gives a lot of Republicans and moderates heartburn are these massive spending programs and a lot of these climate change provisions, which are not supported by the majority of people in their states.
Well, someone might debate you on that. Yeah, go ahead, Jamal.
Just 10 seconds. The Republicans in the House could break the log jam on the $1.9 trillion bill if they voted for it. And they can freeze out the progressives, pass it, and then get it to President Biden's desk. So it's the Republicans who are being obstructionists in the House on the original $1.9 trillion package passed by the Senate.
That's the infrastructure bill. And this morning, I just want to hear from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, because he sounded almost gleeful that Democrats find themselves in the position of pushing, you know, some spending with their bills, while also needing to raise the debt ceiling, conflating it again with future spending, which it's not. But let's listen.
They want to print and borrow trillions of dollars and then set it on fire. But as long as they send your taxes skyrocketing at the same time, it's all awash.
But Alice, to go back to something you even mentioned, polls show people want these things, not just the things in the smaller infrastructure bill, like better roads and bridges, but the things in the 10-year spending bill, like child care. And by the way, Democrats say they're going to pay for all of this by taxing the very rich who've benefited from loopholes. So how do you argue that?
Well, the way to answer all of that is to get in there with the fine-tooth pencil and start cutting some of these programs and start trimming some of the fat and get to the issues and the programs that are important. McConnell also made a very good point in talking about bipartisanship. He said it is not a light switch that Democrats can switch on when they need to borrow money and flip off when they want to spend money.
Yeah.
So it goes both ways. Yeah. And this goes through the party in power and the different rules that apply.
I just want to get something into Jamal, though, in the last minute we have. Nancy Pelosi has said maybe she will, you know, trim that $3.5 trillion bill. But what will she say to people like Michael Haass? I've got his tweet here. He says progressives are the ones arguing that they stick to an agreed process and bills that Biden proposed that coincidentally are very popular. They've also said they will negotiate what's in the bills. And it's the moderates who are changing the rules. Can might Nancy Pelosi further offend those progressives? And can she afford that in 30 seconds?
Listen, it's going to be tough for everybody if the Democrats don't pass this bill. I don't know how you take it back to the country that Democratic president, Democratic House, and Democratic Senate can't get work done on behalf of the country. It's going to make a hard case. So I think everybody who's involved here has got to figure out what they can give in order to get this done.
Yeah. That's Jamal Simmons, the Democratic strategist. We also spoke to Alice Stewart, the Republican. And somebody has a baby crying somewhere, so go take care of that baby. Thank you. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thanks, Robin.
Thank you.